Right now, I'm talking with Bill, and Bill is going to be part of the 100K group, as with everybody else that I've been speaking with today, which is something new we're doing with Dropship Lifestyle to help out people that have been with the program for a while, seen results, and basically have a way to connect on a deeper level. And the goal of these calls I've been doing is to try to just have people share a little bit more about them so people can get a mini version of the feeling they get at retreats when they meet in person and then go on to form friendships, form masterminds, and connect at a deeper level than a an introductory type forum with a random username. So Bill, I'll just start by saying again, congratulations on everything you've done this far. If you could just take like a minute or so and I don't know, maybe let us know if you remember when you started with dropshipping, with Dropship Lifestyle, if that was your first go at it, and what you were doing before that.
Yeah, sure. Before Dropship Lifestyle, basically the idea of having my own business, whatever that looks like, and I assure you, I had a million ideas, like probably a lot of people who have come to the course have had. It didn't look like much of anything. I knew that I wanted my own business. I knew that I wanted to do something online, but it took literally years for me to identify what that was. So once I finally came to Dropship Lifestyle, probably like a lot of people, I spent, I don't even remember, maybe months, like just listening to the podcast, watching YouTube videos, reading about the course. You know, it's an investment. So you want to know that you're getting into the right thing. So ultimately, of course, I decided to go ahead with it. And, you know, the course is great. I mean, really, I know I couldn't have possibly started my store without it. So I have nothing but great things to say about the course. I'd say anyone who's considering getting into it, the content's fantastic. It's really step-by-step, takes you from nothing at all to having a store that's live and making sales. So I'd say my journey has been, it's been interesting. It's been very up and down, but without having the background of the course that's helped me get to where I am now, I really don't know what I would have done. Like, you got to have some sort of structure to be able to get one of these things off the ground. Nowadays, you know, my store is doing really well. I'm making a lot of sales. I'm pretty happy with the success I've had. And, Anton, I just want to thank you for creating the course and the opportunity for everybody to get together and make this sort of thing happen.
Yeah, no, of course. And you're welcome. And yeah, I really do like Dropship Lifestyle. It's crazy. We just celebrated our 10th birthday. And obviously, wow. You know, I love doing it. I make money from it. But like the reason it works is because when people do go through it, don't give up, ask questions, then they can get results. And, you know, I never say like, oh, do this and you're going to be guaranteed to make money, because everybody is different and unique. But I love the fact that, you know, 10 years after we first started, I'm meeting new people every day that have been through the program. And that's amazing. That's why this stuff works. So congratulations to you, because, you know, the instruction and step-by-step lessons were one thing, but going through it and then realizing, oh, even when I went through that part, something might've been wrong, let me fix that, and going on, like, that's on you. You did that. So congratulations to you. That's really, I mean, that's what I love hearing. That's why we continue to grow Dropship Lifestyle. But I'm curious, like you said, you signed up, you spent a while going through the lessons, which I think is a smart move. But do you remember like what it looked like from maybe building your first store until that first sale came in, and maybe what that first sale was?
Oh,
not the
yes.
product, but like, you know, how it came about maybe?
Sure. So actually, I'll tell you, like, I started with one niche and like built the store. And I'll be honest, like probably a lot of people, like I got to the point where you call suppliers and I was a little like a deer in the headlights, right? Like it was scary to me to do that. So I did eventually build up the courage to do that. I mean, honestly, Anton, it took me months to build up the courage to start contacting suppliers, like way too long. So if anybody's listening to this, don't do that. That's a really bad idea. Take action right away. So anyway, the shorter version of the story is I got scared enough from those very few interactions that I had with suppliers, them telling me no, that I convinced myself it was a bad niche. And I started all over into a different niche, which is what I'm in today. Now, I don't regret that because I love what I'm doing now. But looking back on it, I think that would have been a successful store. And I probably would have saved myself a lot of time and hassle if I had just, you know, followed what you say in the course, just call them, had a little bit of confidence in knowing that I've got all the information I need to talk to a supplier, and just went ahead with it. So I would say, like, taking action on every bit of the course. And, you know, it's easy, I know, to do some of the earlier stuff. Like, we can all do Google searches and find out like products and stuff like that. I know it's harder to like reach out to suppliers and do some of the other more advanced things, but you just got to do it, because ultimately you're not going to have success as a store owner if you can't do some basic things like call a supplier. And these people are just human beings like others. Like they are, they're working a job. They get these calls. They expect these calls even in some cases. So it's not a weird thing to call them up and say, "Hey, I'm interested in being a dealer for you." So I would say like that was kind of one of my big, I'll call it a speed bump. It was more than a speed bump at the time. But I would say like, so my journey was a long one because I started all over, even though I maybe didn't have to. But anyway, I worked through my second store. I worked up the courage to get through those supplier calls, and I got launched. My first sale, you asked about that. I can tell you it was, I turned my ads on June 14th. I remember this date. It was more just like testing things out. I didn't really like seriously run them. Obviously, the budget was very low. And I had turned them off shortly thereafter because I just kind of wanted to see them work. And I spent the last couple of weeks of June just getting more products on my store. And then I officially launched on July 1st. So I think I turned my ads on a couple of days before July 1st just to get the stuff running. And then I turned my payment system on and everything on July 1st. I got my first sale that day.
Wow.
Like that day, which is
Yeah.
insane. And I only made, I think it was like $52 or $54 on that sale. It wasn't like a super expensive item, but I was like over the moon, because I'm like, oh my gosh, this actually works. It was
Yes.
insane. Now,
Yeah, so
granted, like,
that's
go
great
ahead,
though.
go
No,
ahead, go ahead.
I was so many people I've spoken with have said, and the people that have huge businesses now, the first few weeks even, they had impressions and they had some clicks and they almost had like a blind faith, like, okay, they started to get worried, like, I hope this is gonna work. And then a sale would come through, and then typically by like, the next month, or if not a little bit sooner, then okay, Google starts to learn and they start to send traffic to the right pages and they come in. So say congratulations on that. You might have a record for the fastest to turn on ads to get a sale. And even if it is a smaller profit one, you know what? It's validation, right? Like, oh, people will click my ads. They will trust my store enough to take out their credit card and place an order. So it feels good. Yeah. It's great.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So what did it look like from there? Did you just keep everything as is? Did you make any changes? How did your business like develop over the first month, let's say,
I
since
mean,
from July?
sure. Yeah. So like, I'll be honest, I got that sale, the first sale that first day, and I can't remember. It took me maybe a couple of weeks or so to get the second sale. So, as you know, Anton, that's not unusual at all. The unusualness was the first sale on the first day. So I did okay the first month. I think I did a 5,000 in revenue in total. And then it kept going up the next several months, but it was like by small bits, right? The exact numbers escape me at the moment. This was last year, by the way, not this most recent summer. So some of it's kind of out of my memory now, but I do remember the revenue and the profit going up just a little bit each month. And it took quite a while. It took all I knew was that I kept hearing the advice that you got to keep adding suppliers and you got to keep adding products, because that's really one of the best ways that you can scale your store. So that's just what I did. Like every day I would get up. If I didn't have suppliers to call, I just spent the day putting products on my store. I mean, it's so, I'll be honest, it is a tedious thing to do, but you really got to spend the time to do it and to do it correctly, because it's such a critical component to building your store from day one to, a year out where you're really starting to make a lot of sales. If you have, the more suppliers you have, the more likely you're going to make sales. I mean, it just makes numerical sense, right? If you got 20 products, only a couple of those are going to sell, maybe. If you got 100 products, now maybe you've got 5 to 10 that'll sell, and then you just kind of go up from there. So that's really kind of there's so much more to it, but that's really the brunt of what I worked on those first few months to help build my store up.
Yeah, and that's so important, because a lot of people do. They'll get their first couple suppliers and want to get ads on, which I still say go for it, right? So maybe you can see that sale, get the validation, but in the background, I've said this so many times on coaching calls that we do every month with the community, you got to keep adding, because like you said, you never know. You might find one supplier that now makes up 60% of your sales just from adding that one new one on, and doubles your business or triples your business. So yeah, very, very good advice, I think, for everyone listening that might be at that point. Most people saying this probably already have a bunch of suppliers, but even if you are running a big store and you've already done over 100K and there are still suppliers out there that you're putting off calling because maybe you don't like calling them either, none of us do, it's worth the time. It's worth spending whatever, block out set amount of hours every week, use those for supplier calls, and it pays off. Definitely.
100%.
Okay, cool. And just before we wrap up this, the recording part of this that we'll share with the community, curious, out of that's obviously a great tip, but anything else you've learned now over these past couple of years that you think was like maybe a pivotal moment or something that changed the trajectory of your business they think would be useful for anyone else?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think understanding your target customer is really critical. That's something I've worked on. I started my store with a target avatar in mind, and that was great. And that's still like the messaging on my store still focuses on them. But the nice thing is once you start your business, you're going to get phone calls and you're going to get emails, and you should answer your phone, and you should answer the, well, obviously answer your emails. Some people don't answer the phone, but you should answer your phone because it's an opportunity not just to make a sale, but to also learn about your customers. I've learned a lot about my customers that way over this last year plus time. As I've learned that I've got probably four avatars now that I need to focus on. Yes, I have the primary one. Yes, my messaging goes to them, but I can't ignore the others too because they're out there and they want to purchase my products. So I wouldn't really understand that if I wasn't talking to them. So I would say, talk to your customers, listen to what they have to say, listen to their pain points, get an understanding of where they're coming from. Why are they buying your products? They're buying it to solve some kind of problem. Or maybe it's a passion pursuit. That could be it too. So figure out why it is they want to purchase what you sell, and learn how to speak their language and how to speak to that problem or issue that they have that they're trying to solve. That's the sort of thing that's going to help. I mean, I don't know if that's the number one reason why I've really grown, but I know it's a very important reason. I would really weigh my success heavily on that.
No, definitely. And I think that a lot of people do, they think that message will help people because, I'm huge with outsourcing and hiring virtual assistants and building a team, but some people want to do that so early. And there's multiple reasons why I don't think you should do that right away, but one of them is so you can learn what customers actually want and need and respond to, because that does give you a huge edge. Even if your competitors, let's say they're doing customer service themselves and not outsourcing it, but if they're not answering phone calls, if they're not really communicating with people via email, then you have a competitive edge simply because you're the one communicating with people and listening to them. So that is very helpful when it comes to even how you set up email automations and the type of tone you use in the emails, and when it comes to different promotions you create and the messaging around them, when it comes to blog posts you might write or content you put on product pages, that all plays into it and definitely leads to a competitive edge for those that do it. So I think that's really smart and really good advice there.
Yeah,
Yeah. And
absolutely.
thank you for sharing that. And again, congratulations on your success this far. I'm looking forward to having you in the group. What's up, everybody? Anton Crilly here again, just hopping on to say I hope you got value and at the very least some motivation to build your own high-ticket dropshipping store with Dropship Lifestyle. If you did, be sure to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, and please do leave a review. It means a lot, and I read them all. Also, if you are a member of Dropship Lifestyle who has done over 100K in sales, you are eligible to join our 100K club for free. All you need to do is send an email to support@dropshiplifestyle.com, and my team will let you know what to do. I'll post that information in this podcast description. And if for some reason you're listening and you are not yet a member of Dropship Lifestyle, I would definitely encourage you to register for a brand new free training that I am hosting at dropshipwebinar.com. Link for that will be in the description as well. And if you do want to use Shopify and get a very special deal for Dropship Lifestyle subscribers, I will also post a link to that in the description. So check that out. Thank you. I appreciate you. Stay motivated, keep working, and I will talk to you in the next episode of the Dropship Lifestyle Podcast. See everybody.